there is a word. And for a while, I have been sitting and stirring, processing and picturing what would be the proper message for this time. And I praise God for truly prompting me in a sermon on the throne room by Pastor Andrew Moman at Victory Midtown. And this message particularly, again, was largely prompted and inspired by that one. So I want to pay my respects to the Holy Spirit for compelling me to continue to follow, wrestle with, dwell with this word of watch the throne. I believe this word has the capacity to shift the narrative of our nation. We are living through a period of great complication. On November 5th, 2024, we are witnessing widespread worry, campaigns funded and fueled by hatred, warfare, and warranted chaos. It's complicated. Society is skeptical and swayed by whatever news reaches them first. We are consumed with advertisements begging for our allegiance. It's complicated. Our country is dealing with domestic devastation and an internal bleeding. We are inflicted not solely by natural disasters, but by fleshly forces and spiritual wickedness. We're bleeding from the trauma of truth deficiency. We're bleeding when what spills are reels of rhetoric degrading and discrediting candidates. It's wicked when hunger strikes through the stomachs of people parked on streets with plentiful produce. It's a wicked thing when people have no home in the midst of an abundance of shelter. In response, it seems we're always told it's complicated. Theologian John Patton says, "Wisdom is the ability to make sound choices and good decisions in the midst of life's complications. To have clarity amidst complications. To still be sound and sane amidst the noise of nonsense. To be discerning against the onslaughts of distraction. This is the great challenge of our day. On this election day, and any other day that the Lord makes, I wonder, what are we watching? As people of faith, children of the Most High God, our political priority must transcend a presidential office. We must honor our civic duty as well as our spiritual mandate. There are moments when wisdom matters most. Not human wisdom, but a faith based on God's power. The spirit of the world wants us to be preoccupied with the promises of people. The spirit of the world wants us to feel justified in our resentment, hopelessness, lovelessness, and will. But there is a spirit of truth that corrects us, comforts us, and calls us into higher realms of reality. Revelation chapter 4 is the focus text I'd want to unpack with us today. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 reads, "After this I looked, and there in heaven was an open door. The first voice that I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' Let us not be the ones to wait until after the election is over to look up to heaven. Let us pray God gives us the eyes to see, the door and the ears to hear the word. The author said the voice sounded like a trumpet. That trumpet was the ram's horn, which preceded God's thunderous answer at Mount Sinai. It was likened to it. The ram's horn was the sound that made the people shudder. So much so that after witnessing these things, Moses in Exodus 20, verse 20 said, "Don't be afraid, for God has come to test you so that you will fear him and will not sin." We could really stop right there, but let me push it a little further. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 lets us know, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline." That trumpet-like sound could reference Psalm chapter 47, verse 5, when it says, "God ascends among shouts of joy, the Lord, with the sound of a ram's horn." This lets us know that the trumpet has a dual capacity in some sense. It can be used for joy, and it can also be used for judgment. Or the trumpet could be what Zechariah referred to in chapter 9, verse 14, when he said, "Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow will fly like lightning. The Lord God will sound the ram's horn and advance with the southern storms." Here, the trumpet or ram's horn becomes a harbinger of some sort, a warning. Or that trumpet could be the sound John heard saying in Revelation 1:12, "Write what you see and send it to the seven churches." Here we learn of a trumpet-like sound that moves us to action and obedience. Returning to the central text in Revelation 4, we hear the trumpet-like sound as an invitation. It said, "Come up here," as if to say one must ascend to see what will be shown. As if insights are differentially accessed based on our position and posture towards God. Verse 2, "Immediately I was in the spirit, and there was a throne in heaven and someone seated on it." What happens here is suddenly there came a swift shift in location, and John is now no longer looking at an open door in heaven, but is beginning to bear witness to a throne that is apparently occupied. What I love about this is that his gaze goes deeper. We don't quite know how exactly. All we know is that a word was spoken and it subsequently sent John in the spirit. While in the spirit, John possessed greater insight. This inner sight was somewhat a simultaneous reality, suggesting that there can be two things going on at one time. And the good news is, while people are plotting and partying over presidential offices, there is a throne and there is a lamb that lives. Now, politically speaking, the presence of this heavenly throne should radically reshape the way we consider power. The President of the United States of America is known as the highest office in the land. And that is true. It's the highest office in the land. But along that first verse in Isaiah 66, it was written, "This is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where could you possibly build a house for me? And where would be my resting place?" In the words of Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III, "Somewhere in my sanctified imagination, I think of how God searched the earth. He made his presence known at Mount Sinai, told the people, 'I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt,' told Moses to build a sacred sanctuary for him, and they called it the tabernacle. Then when the work was completed, the cloud covered the tent of meeting," or in other words, It rested on it. And when it rested, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This was the same cloud that led them out of captivity, but it didn't stay too long. Exodus 40 says the Israelites set out whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle throughout all stages of their journey. So they had to keep moving. Then came King Solomon, who erected the temple in Mount Zion. They called it in Isaiah a tent that will not be moved. But eventually it was overtaken and destroyed by the Babylonians. Then a second temple was built during the Persian period, but the Romans took it down. God kept moving. Structures failed, societies failed, but God continued to prevail. God has never been confined to creations. After finding no other fitting place, he tried on human flesh. Birthed by the Virgin Mary, dwelt among us, he proclaimed, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Jesus lived a loving life. Governments tried him. People persecuted him. And he was crucified. He died, but he rose again with all power in his hands. There is a higher power at work within us and around us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me and in those who believe. So I join with 1 John 4:4 and say, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." The theologian Derek Prince said it this way: once we get a clear vision of God, the problems on earth take on a different perspective. Our Lord and God is on the throne. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power because he has created all things, and by his will they exist and are created. "We fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for like the grass they soon will wither. Like green plants they will soon die away." My deliverance comes from a different place. We have a final destination. We shall be a new creation. When the world is filled with worry, we watch the throne and sing that endless song: "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come."